Larry, are you going to the party?
No.
Okay, we'll be right back.
I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here, that homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com, HMB, Radio.com. How are you? I hope you're well. Big week for here at the HMB. Won the best place to watch comics get better. Creative Loafing, Best of the Bay Award. Thank you very much, Creative Loafing. It is an honor, certainly. Thank you to all the comics who make that possible every other week, every second and fourth Tuesday at Sly Bar. And this podcast is brought to you by Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, slybar.com, and Angelo's. Some of the best pizza I've ever had in my life. Not even joking. SaintPizza.com, 536 First Avenue North. Today on the HMB, it is Miami's own Plastic Pinks are in here. They just completed a 3-month nationwide, worldwide, even Canada, Mexico, all that stuff. So let's talk to the Plastic Pinks. From the KEXP studios in Seattle, all the way to some D-bag's apartment, it's the Plastic Pinks are here talking to me. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
So we got Luigi, who is the lead guitarist. Luigi, how are you, man?
I am good. How are you?
We got Augie, rhythm, guitar, and sings. We got June, who doesn't feel well.
Almost here.
He just, a little bit of vomit just went onto the top of the microphone. I just saw it. You guys had a rough night last night. And of course,
we partied hard at the Benz.
We got Nico on drums back there.
What's up?
That sounds really good. I think actually your mic is probably better than most of these.
Yeah.
You might just have a soothing voice, though.
Speak from the diaphragm.
That's true. That's what you got to do. And of course, our old friend Dane, who has not been here. I didn't even know you moved. You were in here with.
I've been in Miami for 2 months and on the road for 3 months, so I haven't been here for almost 5 months.
Wow. Well, welcome back. It's nice to have you.
It's nice to be back.
You came on one of the first ones of these that I did when I started actually doing interviews.
Me and Tyler.
Yes.
From Part Time Models.
I see that guy around all the time, but I don't think he remembers me. So I just don't say anything. One of my worst nightmares.
Just run up to him and just tap his nipple.
I think he would remember me then, definitely.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But one of my biggest nightmares is if you see somebody you know, and then you just want to go and, you know, say, hey, what's up? But you're not sure if they remember you or not. So I just usually avoid that at all costs, generally.
Well, I mean, are you attached to, like, them knowing your name? Because I'm sure they remember you, but it's the name thing where a lot of people, you know, freak out.
I have a horror story about this. So a horror story, yes. So after high school ended, probably like 5 years, and I saw this kid, Andrew, I was really good friends with in my computer class. And this was when we were doing HTML and building websites and everything. So I was like, oh, I remember this guy. And he was with a chick, too. So maybe that was a thing. So I was like, hey, man, how's it going? And he just looked at me with dead eyes, a 1,000-yard stare. And I was like, oh, no. And I panicked. And I was just like, hey, it's Will, remember? Computer class. And he was like, I don't recall. And I was just like, oh, okay.
He didn't even remember if he had taken a computer class. I don't even think he knew if he took a computer class.
I think he did. I think he was in the pills. So maybe he
did. Like most high schoolers here in public school in Florida.
Or just most people here.
generally. Yeah.
Wubba lubba dub dub.
So you guys had a big night last night. You played at the Benz. You've been on a 3-month tour. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yes.
Almost 3 months.
Almost.
Almost 3 months. So where have you been so far?
Oh, up the.
Woo, doggy.
We went from Miami all the way up the East Coast to all the way up to Boston, and then we went into Canada where we visited Montreal and Toronto, and then we played some shows there. We came
back into Detroit.
Yeah, we came back in through Detroit. We did Chicago, Iowa. We did Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. We did Chicago. We played Day Trotter in Chicago, which was a lot of fun. Check out daytrotter.com. Mm-hmm. We did some
what is Day Trotter?
It's live sessions that are recorded straight onto tape. Yeah. A lot of great bands like Tame Impala has done it before. A lot of great bands have rolled through that studio, and it was a little dreamy being in there. It was nice. But after that, we made our way, from the middle of America all the way to Seattle, where we did KEXP.
Mm-hmm. America.
And then we went to Vancouver, played an underwear party, which was out of control.
Of course, in Canada.
One of the best.
Yeah.
The best.
Vancouver is one of the most depraved places right behind St. Pete. And then we did the whole West Coast. We went all the way down to Mexico. We played Tijuana. And then we went back to California and spent a week in L.A. and just kind of soaked up the sun rays and got to enjoy and spend some time with our record label, Burger Records.
Only went to the beach once.
Yeah. But the entire time there was sun beaming down
on
us. Also, we recorded 2 tracks at NAR Tapes, there's NAR Burger. NAR Tapes and Burger Records have collaborated to make
Uncle
a store
Funkle.
Called, yeah, NAR Burger. And Uncle Funkle, who plays for The Memories and White Mystery, he, of course, he's his own really great solo artist. He recorded us and produced 2 of our tracks that are going to come out probably on a split sometime soon. Am I talking a lot, guys?
I enjoy your proclivity for verbosity. Yeah.
And then we made our way, after that week was over and we enjoyed our time for a week in California, we made our way through the South, played at, Arizona, which was great, and Austin, Texas, and San Antonio. Is so good to us, and we love Texas. Texas was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was.
It saved us, really.
Then we played New Orleans, and, we did the whole circle. We did one big circle that went into Canada and into Mexico, and then we're in Florida now, heading back home.
2 days left.
Let me ask you, because you've seen a lot of cool places. You've been to a lot of seeing the world.
We've experienced things that we've never experienced. We were in an earthquake. We were in a sandstorm. We saw tornadoes. We were in a hailstorm.
I sold a house to a Chinaman.
He's Donald Trump. No, I don't want to talk about that, but in Detroit, I stole a car with someone on accident.
On accident?
On accident. I was just trying to have a good time, and someone was like, hey, this car is stolen. Right now? Yeah, right now. So that was fun, but it was a huge adventure, and we saw things and did things that we could never do again if, I'm sure the next big tour we do is going to... Yeah, we drank absinthe with R.E.M., randomly ran into them and then went to their show. They were really nice in New Orleans, which that was a pretty cool thing that happened there, too.
How did that come about?
We were just drinking. We were at the Pirates. I think it's called the Pirates Alley. I'm sorry. Go ahead. He knows better than I. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hog the mic.
We went to this absinthe bar, and we're just there drinking and whatever, and suddenly, this group of old dudes come in, and they look like a band. So
old
they
dudes.
Sit down, and I was like, obviously, yeah, you guys in a band? And they're like, yeah, we are, probably thinking that we knew who they were, but we didn't. And they said they played in this band called The Minus Five, which apparently is a couple people from R.E.M. And we had no idea who Minus Five is, so we're just drinking and talking with them and having fun. And then they said that they were going to play this private party in
Exclusive.
One Eye Jack.
And that they lived all over the country. And I start putting the pieces together. I'm like, private party, live all over the country. This ain't no, what is this? This is something.
Yeah, so so we're drunk and we're walking around the streets of New Orleans and then we see this place, One Eye Jack. So I'm like, wait, give me a second. I'm going to go run over and ask who's playing. So I asked the bouncer. He's like, oh, it's a private party, but it's like half of R.E.M. is playing. And then we're like, wait, what?
That's why they look familiar.
Yeah, one of them looked really, really familiar. So we decided to go back to the bar and act like if we still didn't know who they were and just keep drinking with them. But as soon as we're taking the corner, boom, there they are. And they're like, hey, guys. And we're like, ah. Just talking about them. And yeah, just
we still went back to the bar and drank more absinthe. Just to be clear, we were like, oh, we had a good run.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, how do you get a tour like this going as a smaller indie band on your way up? How do you make that happen where you're just touring, going to all these huge cities, going to Canada, Mexico? Don't you have to get like a visa or something for this stuff?
You do. But you lie.
Oh, you lie.
No, we're not playing Canada. Yeah. We're just visiting Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
So that way you can avoid the work permit,
what,
right?
What, yeah. What equipment?
We did fill out a bunch of paperwork to Vancouver.
Well, yeah. The second time around. In
we
Vancouver,
decided to be honest.
Yeah, we had the paperwork and all that. But for the first time when we went through Montreal and all that, we didn't. So we just said that we were just having 2 days off and...
Just wanted to see Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful town.
Also, it's because, like, the show that we played was not, like, the show we played in Vancouver, they were more supportive and gave us all this paperwork, and we're like, this is how you cross the border, and they were, like, super stoked.
Yeah, they had their stuff together.
It was a big show, and we were the only band playing that underwear party. We were the only band that would agree to play in their underwear,
basically. We also played with Froth over there, which was great.
It was cool.
And the first time around, they didn't tell us anything.
They didn't give us any paperwork,
like,
or anything.
You know that if you are playing and we do find out, we like, what was it? Like, we don't have to let you back into the U.S.
Yeah,
because
like
around, we're like,
Vancouver's cool.
Playing. No,
I like, delete the Facebook posts.
Yeah, we like went and deleted the Instagram posts.
But yeah, going back to your question though, like, it's one of those things where, like, if you really want to do it, like, as a band, and you go out of your way to book a tour like we just did, like, you will have good shows. You're going to have bad shows as well. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, it's always good to go out of your way and play for new people, so that way, like, you can make the band your primary work, you know, job.
It always amazes me whenever I see bands that have been together for, like, more than 6 months. Because you guys are a unit. You're like it's like a marriage with five dudes, totally married. You gotta be.
We all have four girlfriends.
And exactly.
Instead of making love, we make musical expression.
This is what I'm saying.
We make
man.
Love sometimes.
Well, what I'm saying though is, it's like, it's amazing to me that when I see a band that actually sticks around, like. I'm going to use this as you guys are going to groan, but like Nickelback, for instance, right? So they're
love
like super,
Nickelback.
They're super successful. They're all millionaires, and they still manage to, yeah, let's hang out and play some guitar and write some songs, man. Like that to me is just amazing, because it's not just one person. There's five egos that you have to deal with.
When you're friends, like, you know, like real friends, that's when you can actually, you know, stay together for a long time. If you're not like, you know, like,
don't get us wrong. We argue from time to time.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
But
friends argue.
But know, like, but seriously, it's very important to just be able to, like, get past all the dumb moments and make some dumb moments together that are actually worth remembering. So, we go through it together, and we all want the same thing. So that helps incredibly, you know, being able to just do this with this group of people, you know, it's really important to each and every one of us. So it just makes us be able to, you know, keep it together and keep it going.
Keep the drive alive, sure.
And something that really blew my mind was just, like, the overwhelming generosity of friends, family, other bands, complete strangers. You know, apparently when the world sees dudes going out there, or anyone, you know, putting all their everything on the line, they go for that. They want to help. They appreciate that, and they, you know, help us get places maybe we might not have gotten so gracefully or safely. And that love is just profound, and we really appreciate it.
So who kind of booked the shows? Because that is
these guys here, these four, they're
like
out of control hard workers.
So what do you do? I'm going to find this venue in Vancouver,
and then
email them?
Augie showed me a lot how to book. You know, you just keep sending emails out and find where up-and-coming bands have played that you like. And we would just sit in our kitchen for like 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, sometimes vivacious energy, sometimes working off our hangovers. And we would just sit on the laptops all day.
Working off our hangovers.
booking shows nonstop. I'd send 25 emails out. I get two responses. One of those responses ends up becoming a show.
Yeah, so if it's you just don't find an email, you call the
very
the
meticulous,
place,
very
you know,
meticulous.
Stuff like that. Just push it.
Yeah.
We also had contacts from a tour we had done before, but that tour was rougher. We also booked it ourselves.
Yeah.
So that is just like the way to do it. Like at some point, I know for sure we're gonna have a booker and all that, but we do like having that type of control where we decide where we're going next and all that.
It felt really, really good to like to actually book that tour ourselves. It's like we are taking, like, we're making our future happen. Not anybody else. We did it. Like, that's, you know,
I do the same thing with my stuff. It's like I do the production. I do the booking of the guests. It's good to know these things of what really goes into the business. That's the only way you really learn. And if you're just joining us, the Plastic Pinks are in here. Guys, do you have a website where people can find you?
Well, yeah. You can have, like, our Bandcamp, which is Plastic Pinks. You have our Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook is the main. You can go anywhere else from Facebook.
You guys got to get a website, man.
We go back now, that's one of the things that we're going to be doing and putting up like the online store as well so that people can get everything.
But we're on iTunes, Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, Spotify, Bandcamp, Facebook, Instagram.
Name
Twitter,
it, we're there.
Audio, we're on all those
Pornhub.
Soon, yeah. The first sex tape comes out. Who's it gonna be? Which one of you guys?
Nico.
Dane.
Nico.
Dirt Dog.
We can't be sure.
Nico, are you the dirty dog of the group?
He's silently dirty.
It's been
you
suggested.
Don't even know. We went to the Claremont Hotel. You know the Claremont Hotel?
Is that in Miami?
Gigi Allen used to live there.
Sure.
It's in Atlanta.
Okay.
It's like a
earmuffs.
It's almost like a dilapidated, kind of like condemned hotel. And at the bottom, there's like this saloon where there's all. It's like
ladies who were big in the 70s.
Yeah, but it's basically it's
yet.
Where old hookers.
Now they're just big. Now they're just.
It's
big.
Where old.
Yeah, now they're just big.
I shouldn't say hookers. It's where old strippers go to die.
Okay.
And they're all in their 70s.
I love you, Portia.
And Nico has.
And
has
Nico
stormed his way
got
through.
A lap dance and was very into it.
It was a gift.
She called her bottom area. She called her bottom area peach cobbler.
Thanks,
and Nico, Nico responded with, "I love peach cobbler."
As you should. That's the right answer.
And he was in there.
I mean, who doesn't really?
He was
it's
scrupulously.
Peach it's peach season, people.
Scrupulously in there with his eyes. He was like a microbiologist. Yep.
So, does everybody have girlfriends? Or are you guys, what's going on? I know.
I'm
going
to take the chance to say, I love you, babe.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Mine is back home. I haven't seen her for 3 months now.
So, nice. June is locked down.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I am,
ladies.
I am. I'm happily in a relationship.
What about you, Augie?
No.
No? All right.
I love
nice. Dane, how about you?
How
buddy?
About you, Dane?
Oh, Dane.
My relationship, planet Earth, you know, just keep it like that.
Oh, okay. I think there's going to be one disappointed young lady.
There was one that got away, but Dane is a free bird.
Gigi's fault.
Dane's a free
and Nico,
bird.
Of course, is the single guy running through everything in every city he gets to.
No, that's Dane.
That's
you have no idea. You have no idea. Dane had to stop himself because no one can.
That's true.
He had to
mom. Mama, I'm a dirt dog.
He's a dirt dog.
Well, good for
God
you, man.
Dirt don't hurt.
That's what you should be
he's
doing.
Safe.
You know, Luigi, you have a beautiful young lady here with you. Good for you, man. Nice
Thank
haul.
You. Thank you.
But Dane, this is what birthday. You should be
Happy
doing.
Happy birthday, Crystal.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Crystal. I
Ain't
love
in
you.
The wrong. Happy birthday, Woo! Crystal. You.
Happy birthday, Crystal. I'm sorry. This is what happens when dudes get together. It's usually just poo-poo stuff and then sex talk. I'm sorry you had to experience this. What's been some of the tribulations that you've had on this tour that you booked? Any bad experiences?
I fart more than I dirt dog, so I feel sorry. I just want to apologize to the whole band now that we're here. For my extreme farts.
Well, here's one for you.
I've been trying to change my diet. No, don't do don't.
No, nothing about him. No, let's talk about some real stuff. No,
real
not
stuff.
The blanket. I'm not going to talk about what you do under my blanket in the back seat of our van while we're driving in the van with you. Our cassette tapes got lost in the mail.
Yeah.
Our burger release, got our very first burger release, our batch, got lost in the mail. And we tried to follow it for like a week, and it turns out it went to Utah and got either smashed, like they basically like either disposed of it.
There's only two options.
Yeah.
Either destroyed or we'll see them in eBay.
Or they just auction them off. I can't
yeah,
see.
So,
So no sign of it. They don't have a tracking number.
No, they have a tracking number. They just don't have them.
Reimbursing doesn't do anything when you're like those
you need those.
Cassettes were made and pressed for us, and
yeah, it was,
you know,
our first release.
Money won't do it because that's a time consuming process. It took
by the way, I called the music on the tapes coming back. I know it's maybe not that large of a leap, but I called this years ago because they did the vinyl thing, and now the next step up was eight. I don't know if anybody was going to do 8 tracks. Or not.
I think there's people trying to do the 8-track thing.
Of course there are.
The cassette is still, like, very alive because a lot of people, like, have old cars and they can put in there.
I got a tape player in my car.
Also, like...
Our van has a tape player.
I'm not saying, like, it's the best quality, but it does give it, like, a little effect to it.
It's cool.
Especially for our type of music.
And it's a fun collectible, you know?
Yeah. And, like... It's you easy. Can also, like, throw them around and know that they're okay.
It's nostalgic.
Right. You
know? It's easy. It's affordable.
And people really like to get them. Like, we went out with more than 200 cassettes, and we have, like, maybe, like, 20 coming back of our EP.
Our vinyl sold all out as well. And we
we sold out of the vinyl.
We played in Atlanta. We had to get more vinyls because those all sold out.
Someone gave me a record the other day. Cool. And I'm like, great, how the hell am I going to listen to this stupid thing? Now I have to buy a record player.
You got
to
get a record player. They're awesome. My record collection is out of control. You just try to collect the things you really, really, really like. Because before you know it, it's going to take over your apartment.
I felt like I was given like a task or a chore. I was like, thank you, I appreciate it.
Now you go
it.
On
thank
this
you.
Quest.
Now I got to find a damn record player.
What the world do I do with this thing?
No, but it's really good quality. When you have a good vinyl, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
we're fans of music. We love good sounds.
And if you get him and in there 180 gram, that's even better. That's like the best quality of vinyl, and you're going to get a great sound from it. Which you digital, again, you lose a lot of its essence.
You would be surprised. If you're not into vinyl, do me a favor. Get a vinyl of your favorite CD. Listen to your favorite CD, then listen to it on vinyl, and you're going to hear a huge difference. It sounds like you heard the song or the songs for the very first time.
Oh, but don't put it through Bluetooth speakers.
Don't Bluetooth speaker it.
Because that takes away the whole
some
point
real
of
speakers
it.
and listen to it. But it's just the frequency and the wideness and how you're really hearing the music come through is the closest thing, I think, to like seeing a band live.
I'm wondering, though, since you guys are musicians, if you have a more of a trained ear than someone like I would have. Because hear what I speak like. I don't have any tone or anything to my voice, really.
No, it's good.
So I'm wondering.
I think you've got a good voice.
We probably hear worse than you. We're like deaf. So that's what we're working with.
And we're also not trained in anything except for being jerks.
but you have to have a natural talent, though. Like, I have a buddy, Josh, who bugs me. Because he tried to teach me how to play guitar. I went and got a guitar and everything. Because I wanted to be in a band, too, when I was younger. That's a cool thing to do. And so I got a guitar, and he's trying to teach me how to play it. And he's one of these guys who can hear something and then be like, oh, okay. Do-do-do-do-do-do, and start playing it out. And he's like, okay, man. And he sounds nothing like this, by the way. Okay, man. So you gotta put your...
This is your mental impression of him.
So he's like, and he's so patient. Yeah. He's like, just put your finger here,
he's
man.
He's so smug and patient.
Yeah. He's such a sweetheart, but I'm just getting annoyed. And then I just gave it up after like 3 weeks. This is just not for me. So you have to have a natural gift to be a musician. You're just blessed with certain aspects.
I don't know. I think yes and no.
I think if you goof around with anything long enough, you're gonna get the hang of it. You know?
I think talent only takes you so far. In the end, the person who has the
dedication.
Most willpower and is more dedicated at pushing himself the most goes way further than anybody with a little bit of talent.
I think that's true.
Totally. Believing in yourself is more important than actually having the talent.
And putting in the work. Luigi, we were talking about before these guys got here about how about the comedian open mics and how nobody wants to do the work. They walk in, they set up this mic, and then I'm like, okay, dude, here's what you got to do. And I'm trying to explain it to this guy who's trying to set up a mic. Giving him all these links, he just says, I don't really want to do that, though. It was the only thing. I'm like, all right, well, it's going to fail. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, no more open mic at this place. So, I mean, doing the work is a big part of it. So how do you guys, like, stay motivated to do these things, book the shows and play the shows and drive to these places? And
I think we want this really bad, and none of us stop working at all. We're, like, you'll see me on my phone always just, like, emailing, responding to emails or, like, whatever it is that we have to do, trying to book shows, finding out what we can do next. And I feel like everybody's kind of in the same mentality. So
we
just
don't want to make this our lives.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to have like a regular 9-to-5 job. We just want to play music.
Yeah, we're not half-assing it. And we never mistaken ourselves ever to think that this is it. We never think this is it, no matter how far we go. Like, for us, playing KEXP was a dream. For us, being on Burger Records was a dream. For us, doing Day Trotter was a dream. And we've done all these things. And it's crazy because it goes to show that it's not like the final. It's not like.
It's the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not the final step that we're looking for. We're looking for the process. We love challenging ourselves and seeing, like, how far we can go and what we can do. And we never think, like, okay, we did Day Trotter. That's it. Oh, we did KXP. Done. We can go back home and go to sleep.
For example, yeah. Go ahead.
I just think, like, the nature of music and how it's infinite is just always like a challenge and an inspiration to us, and like me and Augie live together, and like we're always writing, you know, and recording it on his phone, little ideas. Like, we're always writing all kinds of stuff all over the board. So to have that you know, motivation and inspiration, and just to always be excited and challenged by music, that fuels everything you want to do around music.
Yeah.
So that's what it really is for me.
Like, right now we're setting up, like, our next challenge on our to-do list. We're trying to do, like, Japan.
Wow.
We're trying to do Europe.
Cuba.
And Cuba might happen on February if everything goes great. South America and Central America. Like, we're really, like, thinking of all these places. Probably for next year we're probably going to do either Japan or Europe, or if everything goes well, maybe both. But I know those are, like, the places that we want to tackle. We also are planning to do, like, a little bit of Puerto Rico, do, like, maybe, like, 3-4 shows there.
And definitely another 2-month tour next year here in the U.S. Probably rolling around South by Southwest. And
oh, yeah, no, for sure we're doing that tour. It's probably going to be like a Southwest tour, because we're going to go from here to South by Southwest, meet up with Burger Records over there, and then do their shows, and then go to Burgerama and all that, all the way to California, and then we will be coming back.
Plastic Pinks are joining me here. Sorry, guys, I got to do these. That's it's fine. A podcast format, but I still have to, like, do the thing, in case anyone's listening. So how do you guys finance this stuff? I mean, are you doing it all yourself, saving every penny and scraping everything together?
We did it with shows. Like, just playing shows. Like, it's kind of hard, to be honest, but if you go out, you do your shows, and you save up and not spend it, like, we don't take any money from the band, to be honest. What we do is we put it back in, so that way we can do more. So every time that we get paid, we just save it up, and then we spend it on tour. Like, we're really thankful that we weren't, like, no money came out of pocket to pay for gas.
Or hotels.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We didn't always
stay in recording.
Hotels, but,
or the GoPro.
Like, we stayed in a couple.
Yeah.
Here and there, and
just tell them about the GoPro so that people can steal it.
it's basically like a machine that runs itself. Like, the more we just take the money that comes out of it and put it back in, the more we can just play rock and roll music.
So how you eat, though? I mean, are you taking money out for that?
That was everybody pays for their own food.
We pay for our own food. Mm-hmm.
So that way we don't. Yeah.
And if you do that responsibly, you'll be okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
If you do that responsibly, you'll be okay.
In other words, if you eat the dollar menu every single freaking day.
Nice catch, dude.
Thank you.
I thought that was going to be the first one. I was amazed that we have
sorry.
Gone this long.
No,
did it, though. You pulled
sorry.
It out. Fudging dollar menu,
every
man.
Every freaking day. I'm sorry. I'm saying it out of frustration.
I understand.
I don't really care. I don't mind.
You don't mind the dollar menu?
No. Like, obviously, I would love to eat great all the time, but I don't mind if I have to do something to be able to go all out and be, like, you know, in a tour that's that long, I'll do it.
June, where's your go-to dollar menu item?
This is free advertising for who? Taco Bell.
Crispy potato
stuffed tacos. Taco Bell's my favorite.
Taco Bell would be the one that's the least.
It's like
bad.
It's like rock and roll purging. You know, you just like it's like tour purging. Like, go on, I gotta clear my stomach out. Let's go eat some Taco Bell.
That's my guilty pleasure too. I do love
Taco
Bell.
To be honest, it's not like I like it.
We do it because we have.
It's like something that is acceptable. If I had to like eat that,
I love how it tastes. Don't like the way I feel.
Or be broke.
Love the taste. I would eat it every day if it made me feel like. Gloria Stefan.
Hey, guys, do me a favor. Take this mic and give that to Dane and Nico, and then will you take this one off? This cord should be long enough, and you guys can split that one so everyone can get in here. That's perfect. Nice. That one has to stay because that one's got a short cord on it. Okay. So Plastic Pinks are here. Just finished up a three-month-long tour all across Mexico, Canada, United States.
Ow!
That's amazing to me. You guys did it. So, what are you guys driving around in when you're touring? What are you working with?
We have a
full size van, minivan,
a Econoline van.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like a 15 passenger one.
It's got like a million miles on it.
We got the back seat out. All the gear fits there. You know.
So where do you guys sit? You just kind of just sit on the floor.
Driver's side, passenger.
Driver, co-pilot. We're five people, so that's driver and co-pilot. Then there's three benches, so each person lays down in order to wait for their turn to drive.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
if they're post driving, they lay down as well.
Or if they don't have a license.
Or if they don't have a license, like one of us doesn't have a license. But he's a great co-pilot right here. High five.
Yeah, he is a
he
great
shreds
co-pilot.
The co. He'll sit in that co-pilot seat for 10 hours
for everyone except me.
Augie, is it because you don't want to drive and that's the thing? You're like, oh, I don't have a license.
Kind of.
I swear that's not why.
That's a lie.
He's too cool to drive.
I just never got around it because I never really needed one because I've never really had a car or money to get a car. And then I was supposed to get the license right before this tour, and I literally just like procrastinated to the point where I missed my...
Turns out when you go the week before without an appointment, it doesn't happen.
Got it.
We made it, though. We made it.
So. Do you know how to drive if you need us?
He's driving next time.
He knows how to drive. He knows how to drive.
That's what he said last tour.
That June is like really drunk, or well, not anymore because he's with his girl, but usually he used to just pass the key to me, and then I would drive.
Back when he was 11.
Yeah. They were getting drunk when they were 10 years old.
It's like riding a bike, baby. It's like riding a bike.
Except then he had a Mustang.
So if you guys, it's been a pleasant tour. Has there been any like horror stories along this tour? Did I already ask that?
Well,
No.
I mean,
no, you said like if something bad happened, but the cassette thing
was pretty
bad.
That's right.
Yeah. But there was something that was scary.
Okay, let's hear that.
Oh, the gang thing? Yeah. We were in California, just Augie and me. We stayed in this hotel. And during the day, it seemed that everything was great. Mm-hmm. Everything looked good, you know? So we were like, okay, fine, we'll stay here. That's amazing. We went to the movies. We come back. It's nighttime. It's like something happened. You know how Silent Hill, just like everything just goes bad?
Yeah.
Like Thriller.
It was like that.
Like we a get handsome back. Mixed gentleman dancing around in a leather jacket?
We get back and there's like this gang, like just straight up selling drugs right there.
Brothers?
Huh?
Some brothers?
No, it was like, I think it was like a Mexican gang, right?
Of course it was.
Bring in drugs.
Vote Trump. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing rock and roll.
But like, you know, obviously like we're from Puerto Rico. We were like, you know, they're just doing their thing. So we didn't really care at that moment, but we were just going in. And as we're going, parking, we noticed that from three people that were out, it became like five or ten.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
And they're like looking at us.
And they're straight up looking at us. And we get out. We're walking towards the hotel now. And they start getting on their bicycles and just going around us and going.
Oh God!
For the like, and just looking at each other, and then the other ones would start screaming in the back,
And we're like, okay, what's about to happen?
If it bleeds, we can kill
and
it.
And the thing is, like, we have like all this equipment in the van.
Right,
we're,
right.
You know, like, we're about to go into the hotel, and it's like,
sure.
So now what?
And also, yeah. To make it worse, I had my passports and the money.
The band money.
With me. As I'm walking, I'm like, oh, my God, really? Does it have to be now? We get in the hotel, and we realize that our room has a giant window, and it goes straight to where they are. So it's like, oh, great. And then we look around in our room, and we see that there's graffiti in our room.
Oh, boy.
Where was this?
This is in California.
Inglewood.
South LA?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds like it. This
I think
could
it was South LA.
Always the best rates.
Yes, no doubt.
Well, yeah, the thing is that during the day, it seriously looks completely different.
Mm-hmm.
During
mm-hmm.
the night, it's just like,
the freaks come out.
Everything just goes bad. And.
But nothing happened, though.
Well, no. Nothing happened. We got out. Next day, and it was like a bright new day. Flowers came out.
Those same gentlemen were like, good morning,
yeah.
Fellas. How are you?
Yeah.
Warm towel?
Everything looked fine, you know. There's an IHOP right by it, you know.
So really, this is a testament to the reserve of the urban culture.
Yeah, totally. Well, they're probably just messing with you, really. Just saw a bunch of honkies,
it could
you know.
Be.
And,
yeah, they probably
or
just,
they're speaking
they
were a language.
They're probably just trying to see, like, who we were, and then they probably
and if
just,
you
like,
wanted drugs.
You know, like saying like oh, it's fine, like you know whatever. It's
you guys don't look like cops, so I don't think they would think you're cops.
I am not a cop.
Nico, you might be able to be a cop.
I guess they saw the white, you know, van,
yeah.
Huge van, so they're like, you know, got sketchy and whatnot.
Also, yeah, they're racist against that.
Also,
van.
I don't know what it is about us, but in every city we go to, homeless people are like magnetically drawn to us.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah.
Like when we were in Canada, someone came up to me and said,
or
"I tried."
Asheville.
They said, "I try to kill him," and that I was like a. Hell's Angel or something,
we
and I'm like, dude, I've never seen you before. And he's like, I know you, mother effer, and I know what's going on. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I would never try to do that. My tattoos are friendly; they're not gang tattoos.
I mean, really, but, as far as I can tell, the only difference between us and them is we play music.
And you have a van that you can sleep in.
Yeah.
True.
We don't sell drugs or anything.
We were like a couple of bad shows away
We sell shirts and cassettes and stickers.
So where's the best place you think you've been on this tour?
Oh, man.
Where's your favorite place?
So many great places.
I can't say, like, favorite place. I can name the places where that we had great shows.
Crowbar,
Austin, Texas.
Crowbar with the OCs was amazing.
Yeah.
In Tampa? Yeah.
Yeah, Crowbar. We opened for the OCs. That was amazing. And they're super nice. But that was a really awesome show because they're great. John Dwyer is super nice. His whole band's nice.
Where did we play with AJ, the one we almost didn't make?
Oh, the Chapel. That was
San Francisco.
Yeah.
San Francisco, that was
and
really
Austin
good.
And Vancouver.
The thing is that, like, I loved Texas
Boston.
For us was great.
We love Austin. Austin is like a home away from home. They're really kind to us.
Like, that, Texas was great.
Des Moines, Iowa.
New Orleans was cool.
New Orleans
was Des Moines was really
New Orleans for sure was definitely one of my favorite places. Just like,
period. No, we love New Orleans. We love just walking around there. Everything about that place is magical.
You guys are based in Miami, right?
Yeah.
Is there any plan to eventually relocate, or do you think Miami's going to be?
It's, you know, we
talk about it.
We talk about maybe in like 2-3 years moving to.
If it would
LA,
be anywhere, it would be the
just
West
because
Coast.
Because the scene over there, like, yeah. It's like, you know, really happening.
You know what with Miami too is because Florida is such a weird state. That it takes forever to get out of Florida. And you guys are at the bottom there, man.
Yeah.
If you want to go anywhere, you got to go.
We love challenges.
Yeah.
Everything. But I think it's, like, also cool that way. Because if you go there, like any band goes there, they go out of their way. People know that they went out of their way, so they go to the shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
a lot of bands are starting to go down there again because for a second it was kind of dead, but now it's like, you know,
coming
really
back.
Happening in Miami.
Yeah, before it wouldn't have been possible, but we opened for the Black Lips, Ty Segall, La Luz. We played with a lot of Turbo Fruits.
Yeah, it's fun.
We love it. Down there.
Well, listen, guys, I hate to do it, but we're almost out of time. I want to play one of your songs, too, before we go. So
awesome.
Give me your social medias and all that stuff so people can find you.
Facebook, Plastic Pinks.
At Bandcamp. We're on Reverb Nation. We're Facebook on. I'm sorry. We're Plastic Pinks on Facebook, on Instagram.
SoundCloud.
We're on SoundCloud. We're on RDO, iTunes, Spotify. You name it, you got it. Amazon.com. What else?
Coldplay.
We're going to make a MySpace one of these days, too.
Yeah, Plastic Pinks on anything. I mean, you could just Google Plastic Pinks, and we're the only Plastic Pinks.
Yeah.
Us and Pink Flamingos that are sold in Florida.
And, like, weird toys. I'll leave it at that.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you so much for having us.
Adios.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Plastic Pinks wrapped up their three-month tour. Thanks for coming in, guys. Really fun group. Sweethearts, just little dumplings, all of them. I just want to pinch their cheeks and give them kisses on the forehead. Thanks a lot, guys. Go check them out on there. All their social media, Bandcamp, all that. Download, buy their stuff, buy a tape. All right, we're going to leave with a Plastic Pink song from the KEXP performance. This is Living on the Coast. I'll see you next week. Take it easy.
Miami, Florida. Plastic Pinks.
Everybody ready? Yep. One. Two, one, two, three, four.
HMBRadio.com.